father. And every faithful heart, fallen brother, can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. What's new, Paul?
It's cold.
It's colder, yeah. But it's sunny, and that's good, and I'm happy about that.
We've got a couple of beautiful days coming up this weekend. Great time to just rejoice in the Lord.
That's right, and be thankful and grateful that we
always
are happy and alive. All right.
Well, coming up on the Rediscover Hour, presented by Stinson Electric, your trusted electrical advisor, solving electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. We will talk with international speaker Martha Fernandez-Sardina about the ongoing call to engage in the new evangelization as the Universal Year of Faith draws to a close.
Plus, raising a happy, healthy, faithful family. We'll take a closer look at resources available to help parents help their children succeed in this life and the next.
Then, in an extended, no ordinary conversation, we hear from Archbishop John Neinstedt about protecting the young and restoring trust.
But first, we'll start the show today like we usually do with Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit. Hello, Joe.
Good morning, Corey. Good morning, Paul.
What
do you have?
Are
you keeping warm? Yeah, you know, like you said, it's a little bit warmer days coming up here. We better enjoy them while we can.
It's like we're thanking God that it's 40 and how our perspective changes throughout
That's
the
right.
seasons.
Well, we're in between issues, but you're keeping busy as usual.
That's right. This week, the Archdiocese hired and named the outside firm that will review its clergy files. And, you know, this is part of the Archdiocese's ongoing efforts to ensure it's taking a comprehensive approach on the issue of sexual misconduct and being transparent about it. The firm is Kinsale Management Consulting, which was founded by a woman named Kathleen McChesney. She's a former high-ranking official at the FBI and the former head of the U.S. Bishop's Office of Child and Youth Protection. You know, after the bishops adopted the Charter for the Protection of Children and Young People in 2002, she was the person who developed and oversaw the national program to ensure that all Catholic dioceses comply with civil laws and internal policies regarding the prevention and response to the sexual abuse of minors. So she and her firm have extensive experience in this area, and the process for them is slated to begin in early December, starting with a review of all clergy and active ministry. And once the Kinsale team does an initial assessment, it'll be able to provide a time frame for completing its work. So we'll be relaying that information when it becomes available. And also, the Archdiocese again confirmed this week its decision to disclose the names, locations, and status of all living priests of the Archdiocese who have substantiated claims against them of sexual abuse of a minor. So that will be coming up as well. And again, all of this is in the interest of taking action to create safe environments for children and being transparent about it and restoring trust. And
that's the
as
most
we heard,
important
we'll be
part.
Hearing from Archbishop Neinstedt later in the show on this issue as well.
Okay. And then what's next?
Well, you know, recently I had the great pleasure of attending the first AIM Higher Foundation's Night of Light celebration of
Tell
Catholic
me
education.
About that.
And that foundation's for Catholic schools, correct?
That's right. That's
around
right.
the Twin Cities. Okay.
Yes. You know, it was a great opportunity for supporters of Catholic education to come together to hear about the incredible difference, the positive difference our Catholic schools make in the lives of the children and families they serve. The foundation itself was founded in 2011 after the launch of the Archdiocese's strategic plan, and that plan was very much committed to reinvesting in the future of our Catholic schools. And people at the dinner, for example, heard about the great work the foundation is doing to help provide financial support to students in need. I think it was the 2012-2013 school year, the foundation provided 730 students in K-8 $483,000 in financial aid.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and the students who received those grants were from 71 of our 80 K-8 schools. And that aid also helped to attract 238 new families to our Catholic schools. So, and now this year, students at 76 of our K-8 Catholic schools are getting $750,000 in tuition assistance. And like 95% of of the students who received assistance last year are getting it again this year.
Excellent.
So there's great work being done by the AIM Higher Foundation to make Catholic education and all of its benefits accessible to more families. But the need, as you can imagine, is still great, and it continues to grow. So anyone who wants to know more about the work of the foundation or how to contribute to this really great cause can find out more on its website, which is aimhigherfoundation.org.
I'm a big believer in Catholic education, but it's not cheap.
No. And there's a lot of need out there and a lot of opportunity to help people.
What's Celebrate Your Name Day?
Yeah, we had a wonderful reader-submitted response in the last issue of the Catholic Spirit, in which we had a woman, a grandmother, who wrote about the importance in her life of celebrating her name day.
Mm-hmm.
She says everyone celebrates birthdays, but mm-hmm. a wonderful tradition that she's involved with is celebrating the official feast day of her patron saint.
Okay.
And the woman, her name is Cecilia, celebrates her name day every November 22nd,
uh-huh.
the Feast of Saints. Cecilia, and
right.
she's lucky enough to celebrate it with her granddaughter, who's named after her.
Oh, okay. Cute.
So Saint Cecilia is patron saint of music as well. So Grandma Cecilia and her granddaughter Celia have this tradition of doing something that day around a musical theme.
Oh,
they might go to a musical performance or a concert or something along those lines. And I thought, when I read this, I just thought it was a wonderful tradition, something like she says in her piece, more of us should adopt. I know growing up in Chicago in a neighborhood with a lot of Polish people and Italians where the Feast of St. Joseph was a really big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a couple mm-hmm. of them.
Yes. Well, yeah, exactly. And every year my Catholic high school would host a St. Joseph's Day table that featured this huge array of meatless food and ethnic dishes because, the feast always falls during Lent,
mm-hmm.
pretty much. And it was always something I looked forward to. The food was delicious, and it was a special way I got to celebrate my Names Day feast with my family, which included, by the way, my father, Joe, my two grandfathers named Joe, and
wow.
a grandmother named Josephine. So
no imagination
in your
family.
Family history there.
A little bit of family history. So anyone who hasn't read that story, should do that and maybe start thinking about some new traditions they might be able to start in their family.
Well, my name is Paul, and I happen to have a brother named Peter.
That's an easy one, then.
So we have the same feast day.
Oh, wonderful.
And speaking of family, what is this sponsor of family Christmas
yeah.
holiday program? I can't believe we're talking about Christmas.
I know. Advent's not quite here yet, but just looking ahead a little bit, two Christmas things
mm-hmm.
to draw people's attention to. One is, as you mentioned, the sponsor of family. Family Christmas Holiday Initiative aimed at helping people in need. And this originally started as a Catholic Charities program, and it's now an independent program, but people like you and me can sponsor a family and purchase gifts for families that are struggling. And, their wish list includes things like boots and winter coats.
Right, things that are necessary.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And food gift cards and things like that. So it's a great way to help people at this time of the year, and folks can find out more about the program at sponsorafamilymn.org.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Christmas time can be a very depressing time for someone who is down on their luck.
So can winter if they don't have coats and the necessary things.
Right. So this is a great opportunity, again, to help some of those folks that need a little extra help.
Very
this
true.
Christmas.
Well, speaking of Christmas, your poster contest is
yeah.
What is that?
Always a favorite here at the Catholic Spirit. We've been doing it now for about 8 or 9 years where we invite youth around the Archdiocese to do a Christmas-themed poster. This year's theme for youth in kindergarten through high school is I Unwrap the Real Gift of Christmas When. And we ask the artist there to complete the sentence and then mm-hmm. to illustrate it in a poster. And we have different age categories and prizes for the top posters. And we have a little judging committee that picks the winners, and those will be featured in our Christmas issue December 19th.
So do they mail in their drawing? Or?
That's right. So
okay.
You take an 8.5 by 11 sheet, and really they can use pretty much any medium, crayons, paints, markers, whatever they want to do. Make sure that phrase appears on the front, and they draw a picture to match it. And, then, of course, on the back they need to put some other information. So we, of course, know who they are and how to get in touch with them. And all that information's on our website as
okay.
well as in our print edition from last week, and it'll be in again this coming issue.
Getting some entries yet?
Not just yet, but you know,
I'm going to get my daughter on it. She's really into art these days, so look for her entry.
Thanksgiving stretch always seems to be a time when maybe families have a little extra time to do something like this, and there's nothing quite like a deadline. So as that deadline in early December approaches for this, we tend to get a huge stack of mail. So
that's fun, though.
Anything else in the upcoming Catholic spirit?
Well, you know, one last thing I certainly want to mention is, you know, we've all heard about the incredible damage in the Philippines from the super typhoon that struck there last week. And the Archdiocese just announced that it's going to be taking up a special collection on the weekend of November 30th and December 1st to help the survivors. Catholic Relief Services is among the agencies helping to meet victims' needs, and they're certainly going to need a lot of help. So we'll have some more information about that, as well as we'll be having a piece around Advent. You know, that's coming up on December 1st. And
it's scary.
Yes, our next issue is the last one before that, so we'll be giving some folks something to reflect on as the Advent season approaches. And we'll also have a little piece about, you know, with the Kennedy assassination 50th anniversary coming up. We'll have some things around that, and also sort of revisiting the time when he came and visited the Cathedral of St. Paul the year before that. Some photos and some recollections from that as well.
You two probably aren't old enough to remember that anymore.
Well, I wasn't around at the time, but it's one of those things, people in my family, it's one of those, they all remember where they were.
I'm one of those who does. I was in sixth grade at the time. I remember my teacher coming in and giving us the news. Yeah.
So it's been
50 years on November 22nd.
Okay.
Joe, good stuff, as always, in the Catholic spirit.
Yep, great talking with you, and I hope you have a great weekend.
You too, Joe.
You can hear Joe Towalski, editor of the Catholic Spirit, every week here on the Rediscover Hour, and you can find the Catholic Spirit online anytime at thecatholicspirit.com.
And coming up on the Rediscover Hour, raising a happy, healthy, faithful family, we'll take a closer look at resources available to help parents help their children succeed in this life and the next.
And we'll hear from local families who took part in one special faith-building opportunity that took place this past weekend. Find out what they said about the special experience of attending the All in God's Plan program.
Plus, in answering the call, we'll reflect on the Year of Faith with Martha Fernandez Sardina. We'll be right back.
The Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio is presented each week by Stinson Electric.
This is Paul Archambault of Stinson Electric. We're proud to sponsor the Rediscover Hour. Stinson Electric is a trusted supplier of electrical services in the Twin Cities area.
Stinson Electric solves electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers.
My customers really appreciate the electricians that I send out there. Their professionalism, their personality, their responsibility, the fact that they can call and get someone out there that knows how to solve the problem, does it in a timely manner, and is neat, tidy, polite as they do it. I get a lot of feedback about the employees.
It's rare to find a company so dedicated to doing business the right way so that everyone benefits.
We'd like to be your trusted electrical advisor. I'd be happy to meet with you and discuss your electrical needs. I can be reached at 612-424-7382 or on the web at StinsonElectricInc.com.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sadek. Parents know it takes work, perseverance, and a whole lot of prayer to raise happy, healthy, and faith-filled children.
Isn't that true? And there are many resources available to help parents with their children succeed in this life and the next. And here to tell us about several such resources in our area is Jean Stolpelstad, Director of the Archdiocese Office of Marriage, Family, and Life. Thank you for joining us here in studio, Jean. That's fun to have you here.
Well, thank you, Corey, very much for inviting me down today.
Absolutely. Okay, so first off, why are strong, healthy, faith-filled families essential for our society today?
You know, that's a really good question. And I think it takes a little bit of reflection for all of us to really appreciate the fundamental importance of the family. It's in the family that our children learn the virtues and the excellence, the degree of excellence they need as adults. This family is the school of love, and it's here that we learn to appreciate our work ethic. That work sanctifies us. We learn the gift of self and sacrifice and collaboration and generosity. We learn to love
all the
instead
basic
of
stuff.
Use.
And it's the first exactly. place they get this example, the children in the family. I mean, we are their teachers, mm-hmm. and so it's so crucial that we set good examples. And it's a big role. It's a scary role as a parent. You know, it's a lot of responsibility.
Exactly. And the primary educators of our children are parents. And mm-hmm. I think sometimes yeah. we can overlook that fact.
Right. We send them off to school and think that other people need to, you know, take a bigger role, like teachers and stuff, in raising them, but it's,
well,
it's
and
us.
You can probably speak to this too, Corey. After 4 years or so of having a toddler running around, you say, "Oh, thanks be to God, they're going to school."
I know you look forward to the day in a sad way, but you also forget that we are the primary teachers, and in setting an example, not just telling them what to do, but setting that example. I'm trying to remember every day is the best way to teach a kid.
Exactly. To teach them love and forgiveness. It helps them have a foundation on which to base all of their future decisions.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to be important in my life? How am I going to be the happiest? And that's when we recognize the dignity of self.
Well, so what are some of the threats that we're seeing in this age to a strong, faith-filled family?
Oh, there are so many.
So many.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's just
scary.
A ton of them. I mean, let's start listing them. Number 136.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, some of the greatest threats, I believe, are the ones that that really undermine the stability of the family. Things that are that really strike at the heart of marriage,
okay.
that strike at our role as primary educator and undermine the authority or the relevance and influence of parents. I also think just the cultural environment of license versus freedom,
mm-hmm.
or that age of consumerism where we just try to please ourselves.
Yeah.
All of those things, that self-gratification, all of that undermines the basic principle of family and sacrifice and self-giving love.
We do live in a culture, don't we, where that's becoming more and more prevalent.
Well, it's everywhere with technology. I mean, kids are, my kids, looking, you know, at commercials and you know, Facebook or, you know, I mean, they're seeing it there in our lives, and they're just, it's just all around. It's omnipresent. I mean, there's stuff that they can see even at an early age that maybe they didn't have that situation before.
Exactly. And I think you just struck on a very important aspect, is that much in our culture tries to divide the person, that their body and spirit are separate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we are trying to incorporate that because we are both bodies and spiritual
mm-hmm.
beings. So our kids need to understand that.
Right.
As they go forward.
It's an extension of what Bishop Sheen said about having a secular life and a religious life. They can't be separated.
They can't be, right.
Absolutely.
And so where, as a parent, you know, should I turn for resources to help support my faith and family life as one thing? Like, faith and family life should be one before, you know, we look to our parishes, but where else?
Right. As we're trying to build up that understanding in the domestic church, our little, mm-hmm. the faith and family life is one thing, the domestic church. Obviously, of course, our parishes are the first place we're going to mm-hmm. turn to because they're closest to us. They're in our neighborhoods. But also, within the archdiocese ourselves, we are trying to supply vicariate-wide opportunities for parents to really be equipped and have the tools they need to combat the cultural milieu. And one of those programs that we have that is very successful for parents who have kids from infancy to 5 years old, the preschool
That's me.
Age.
I'm that target market. I have four of them in that range.
All right.
Talk to me. What can I do?
One of our best programs is Early Catholic Family Life.
Right.
And it's a parish-based program that helps parents have the opportunity to speak about faith in practical ways. Sometimes it's kind of hard to talk to your toddler about God.
Right.
Right? That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
But there are hands-on, tactical, practical things you can do so that they can see God in their daily lives, even as little children. And this program helps you do that. it also provides an opportunity for you to speak with other parents
right.
and share ideas and build
right.
up a support
and that's
community.
Huge. Right, to get ideas from them and to talk to them about things that are working or not working and how you can improve it. And there's so many parents that have come up with great ways to talk about God and to incorporate God every day into their kids' lives at home, you
exactly.
know, when their kids are at home. And
so because our kids are unique, certain things will work for one and not another. And then all of a sudden
of
you think, oh my gosh, I'm failing.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
so true. I'm learning that every kid is different.
Well, how long has this program been going on, the Early Catholic Family Life program?
Early Catholic Family Life was started in 2001, and it was actually developed by a couple here in the Archdiocese, Joanne and Alan Foley. They specifically created this program for us.
And so ECFE, I've done that. Is
yes.
it modeled sort of after that?
It is.
In a way,
it,
but bringing God into it?
Exactly. It uses all those techniques that work with, that we see in the public sector.
Okay.
Except we apply, we incorporate
the
all
faith-based.
Of those
faith. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Exactly.
And so, and it's in Spanish too.
Exactly.
That's
yes.
helpful.
We have done our first Spanish training last fall and have launched it in, I believe, St. Stephen's.
And so the program, though, is it's done through the parishes.
Exactly.
So if there's not one at our parish, we would need to talk about maybe starting one. Is that correct?
Yes. And for that, you would just call the Marriage Family Life or access the information off the
online,
website.
And mm-hmm. they can have all the tools on how to get one started.
Exactly.
Tell me about All in God's Plan.
All in God's Plan is a very, it's a lovely program, and it's a three-part program that we offer to families to help them understand the dignity of the human person and our sexuality. Right now, it actually started in 1999, and the first two parts are really equipped to help parents take on that role of primary educator when their kids are preteen and teenager, and as their bodies are changing and they're starting to be more aware of their sexuality.
It's a difficult time for parents and kids.
Absolutely.
In general, yes.
Absolutely. And so this this program is kind of done in a retreat style where you have a large group where there's a presenter, and it helps the parents have the words.
Like get that conversation started.
Exactly. And to identify the principles that they need. Also, as they're living out their faith in their home, there are certain virtues that really help teenagers in that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it helps the parents identify the virtues that they can help their kids work on so that they can develop a healthy sexuality.
Now,
so
how long has this been going on then?
This program actually started in 1999.
Oh, you've got some experience.
but there's three parts for different ages. And so how are those broken out?
Exactly. The first part is for ages 10 to 12 years old. And again, this one is just kind of an emerging topic. It helps the kids understand the gift of modesty,
mm-hmm.
That mankind, we introduce the concept of vocation, and that all of mankind has a vocation,
right.
namely to love.
Mm-hmm.
And what is an appropriate expression of love?
Okay.
And then we talk about the responsibilities of families, because in our culture, families kind of sometimes they're diminished.
Mm-hmm. Families are getting short shrift today. There's no question about that.
And so we talk about what are the responsibilities of family, and in mm-hmm. What both parents to children and children to their parents.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then the basic Christian values that our kids will need in order to be successful and happy.
Okay, and then the second part is a little bit older?
The second part is a little bit older, and it goes a little bit more in depth to some of the things that they might be experiencing when they're 13 to 16. We talk about dating and peer pressures, friendships and self-esteem, and definitely chastity. We also talk about obedience and living a virtuous life, and we talk about the myths our culture has around sex
mm-hmm.
and its expressions.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think in this part, this is a really interesting segment in that we introduce role models for the kids.
Okay.
Kids, young people who are just a little bit older, give the presentations and offer this can be done.
Mm-hmm.
There's people. It's not something that your mom and dad experienced. This is something that can be done now
mm-hmm.
and is being done.
So what if we miss, say, part one, can we go to part two?
Absolutely.
And okay. Parents are there at all the sessions with them, or is the
for
kids...
part one and part two, they are.
Oh, okay.
When they get a little bit older into part three, ages 17 to 18, at this point, the kids are preparing for college. And so
they're old enough to be on their own and making those decisions and learning about this without
exactly.
their parents sitting right there.
Exactly. And they have to claim it. Mm-hmm. They have to claim it for themselves.
Right.
And this segment is really goes much more in depth into a personal vocation.
Okay.
And understanding what is God calling
me to do. Right.
And will it be the married life or religious life or the priesthood, that God has a special invitation for each one of them. And it gives them an opportunity to reflect on that.
What about resources for single parents?
Single parents have, God bless them, they are so heroic, and they've been open to life, and they have these children, but their needs are very different from a household that has a two-parent setting.
Sure.
And so we do offer various resources throughout the years for our single parents, and there is a unique retreat geared just for them in February. I think that you can find more information about that online as well with the upcoming dates. But we do try to offer support, newsletters and information and just basic outreach to the to our single parents, because their journey is different.
You have so many things going on at the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life.
Huge, right. It covers such a broad spectrum of...
Can you describe the Archdiocesan Office of Marriage, Family, and Life for us?
Oh, sure. We were talking about this just a little bit ago, and I said anywhere culture or the church intersects with the family,
uh-huh.
it falls within the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life. We reach out to social justice and pro-life and religious freedom. We work with youth, young adults, and newly married. We work with pre-marriage, with the aged, with disabilities, with NFP.
Mm, gosh.
So just about any, and marriage enrichment.
Mm-hmm.
So anything okay. that intersects the family, we're there.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much for being here, Jean. We appreciate all the info. And there's more information on our website, and also on, what's the website for All in God's Plan?
That's just on the Marriage just Family Life Office.
Your own. Okay.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you. And we look forward to hearing more about the programs.
Well, thank the both of you.
Thanks for joining us.
God bless.
And again, you can find out about all of this, like we said, the programs organized through or in cooperation with the Archdiocese of Office and Marriage, Family, and Life on that office's webpage. And we've set up a link from our show page as well, and we'll specifically link to the programs discussed today, Early Catholic Family Life, All in God's Plan, and Single Parents of the Archdiocese.
And remember to check with your parish for resources. In addition to Sunday school and faith formation programs, there are often other resources available, like moms clubs, lending libraries, and other opportunities to come find out more about the faith and learn about loving ways to pass it along to your little ones and your older children.
Well, every week on the Rediscover Hour, we catch up with local Catholics and ask them about a faith topic.
And this past weekend, we caught up with families attending one of the sessions in the All in God's Plan program Jean just told us about.
Jolynn Schumacher, and I attend St. Peter's in Forest Lake.
I guess it gives me the tools that I can use at home with my children. Maybe different things I haven't thought of, or ways that I can interact with them and tell them about God's plan for their life. It just makes me more confident in my conversations with my children.
Hi, I'm Angela from St. Peter Catholic Church in Forest Lake, and I think the program helps benefit families by showing the families that to talk about our sexuality in such a healthy and true way is actually the truth as God wanted us to see it. And it's okay to talk about that stuff. It's not embarrassing. It's made to be beautiful. And it's okay to talk about it. It's not something you have to talk about behind closed doors, because we don't talk about God behind closed doors. And He made us in our bodies to know Him through our bodies and to talk about what is beautiful with our bodies in respect to the rest of the world is very important. And I think this shows through action. This program shows through action how we can do that.
Hi, I'm Carol from St. Peter's Church in Forest Lake. The program All in God's Plan gives families tools, these tools in which we can live by. These tools are used to combat our current culture's attack on the family. Teens are reminded of the truths which are found in church teaching, and also they learn truths about their own bodies and about their health as well. The program emphasizes the beauty of sex as it is found only in the sacrament of marriage, and the grace is provided to those individuals who choose to wait.
Again, if you want to find out how you and your tween or teen could benefit from the All in God's Plan program, please visit our show page. Go to rediscover-faith.org. Click on radio in the top navigation bar at rediscover-faith.org. Reach us through our show page.
And if you have an idea for a question to ask fellow Catholics here on the Rediscover Hour, we want to hear it. And there are lots of ways to reach us. You can click on show ideas on our show page or email us at therediscoverhour@archspm.org or contact us through the Relevant Radio site at relevantradio.com.
And coming up on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from Archbishop Neinstedt about the sacred duty to protect young people and ensure safe environments for everyone in ministry so that the gospel of Jesus may flourish.
Plus, we'll reflect on the Universal Year of Faith with a woman who has dedicated her life to the new evangelization. Today's Answering the Call with Martha Fernandez Sardina when we come right back.
Rediscover.
It used to be that your business computers could be maintained and updated by a kid who you hired and had a few computer classes in college. Not anymore. The complexities of keeping your company's applications running smoothly and securely need trained professionals. I'm Larry Lawinger, and with my wife Joanne, we've grown LCI Consulting in the Twin Cities to have a reputation among small to large businesses that we keep computer networks working.
If your organization's hard work and ideas are being held back by problems with technology, you should meet the local experts at LCI.
For computer reliability and protection from outside intruders and off-site data storage, call us at LCI to learn how our more than 100 IT professionals can serve your business computing needs.
The call is free. Another outage or lost data in your company costs you money. Let them support your business network and applications. LCI-online.com or arrange a personal consultation at 763-425-7567.
Walk in the room, you look out a window and something's there. Something's there. Hope has a way of turning its face to you just when you least expect it. You walk in the room, you look out a window.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Our next guest has dedicated her life to the new evangelization.
She writes for newspapers and online, speaks internationally, and has led diocesan evangelization offices and reaches out to people everywhere, inviting them to discover or rediscover full life in the faith. And she does it all in English and Spanish.
Yes, in today's Answering the Call, we are so happy to be joined by Martha Fernandez Sardina, director of Prepare the Way Enterprises, live from San Antonio, Texas. Martha will help us reflect on the Universal Year of Faith, which comes to a close later this month on the Feast of Christ the King. Thanks for joining us, Martha.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you back.
Thank you.
The Universal Year of Faith is just about to come to a close on the Feast of Christ the King, but our evangelization efforts shouldn't end there, should they?
Never, until the Lord comes again and the consummation of all time has come together.
Well, how do you hope this year has prepared Catholics to share the faith in a new and revitalized way?
Well, I hope that it has led us all to recognize more fully how important it is to allow Christ to be the king. We close this year of faith, which was a 13-month year of faith, on the solemnity of Christ, universal king, or king of the universe. And we need to allow Christ to be that which he is, the king of our lives, the king of our families, the king of our society. So hopefully, through pondering the teachings of the Second Vatican Council, praying through and reflecting on the truths of the Creed, and the other things that Pope Emeritus Benedict called us to do during this year of faith, and that Pope Francis has been modeling and calling us to do as well, hopefully each of us has come to a recognition that we need to allow Christ to really reign in our hearts, in our minds, in our actions, in our attitudes. In other words, that we would have engaged in a more in a deeper conversion or evangelization of ourselves, mm-hmm. and that we also in turn have become more interested in and committed to the evangelization of culture and of individuals, so that they too might experience the blessing of having Christ be their king.
Now, you've been speaking all around the world over the recent years. What have you seen during this year of faith? Have you received any signs of hope?
Yes. I mean, there is a lot going on everywhere. In fact, this weekend I'll be in Providence, Rhode Island for their close of the Year of Faith a week early, of course. They have a Eucharistic Congress, and there's a lot of people who are interested in knowing how to live their faith based on the Eucharist and fed from the Eucharist. Next weekend, I'm actually going to be closing the Year of Faith myself with the people of God in the Diocese of Orange, California. They, too, have a conference to close the year. And then, of course, we see these large gatherings of people at the Vatican events that have taken place mm-hmm. throughout the year. So there is there are signs of people who are interested in not only learning the faith, but in living the faith more fully. I think the election of Pope Francis during the Year of Faith in March of 2012, or 2013, I should say, also has sort of excited people about the faith and living it out in a practical way. World Youth Day this year in Rio de Janeiro that gathered 3.5 or 4 million pilgrims, with the vitality of young people, mm-hmm. using young adults, showing that they want to know the faith, they want to live the faith, they want to be saints in the modern day. So yes, there are signs.
Be great witnesses. And so what do you think are our greatest challenges as Catholics, especially to those trying to reach out to those who have maybe drifted away? We talk about that a lot here in the Rediscover Hour, trying to re-engage Catholics and reignite their passion for their faith.
I think the greatest challenge to those of us who are practicing the faith, unfortunately, after so many years of talking about the new evangelization, I think there are five things that we can point out that are still have a grip on people. One is ignorance. Some people mm-hmm. still do not understand what evangelization is, why we do it, why they must do it. So they're just ignorant. They don't know, and we need to teach them. We need to educate them. Number two, there are misconceptions. There are still some people who believe that, oh, we can impose on people. Pope Paul VI and Evangelii Nunciandi on Evangelization in the Modern World in 1975 spoke about that already. We're not imposing. We are proposing a way of life that even non-believers consider worthy. So misconceptions about it. Third, apathy. Some people, they know they should be evangelizing, sharing the faith, bringing others to Christ in the church, but they just don't care enough to do so, and that is serious. Number four, I think negligence. We sort of care, but we just get busy. We get busy with our own endeavors, with our own jobs, with our own whatever it may be, and we neglect to do the greatest and most loving thing, which is to bring somebody into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And number five, I think sometimes it's fear. Fear that we'll say the wrong thing, mm-hmm. fear that I don't have the right answers. Brothers and sisters, fear not, be not afraid. That's John Paul used to say, and it's the admonition most often repeated in sacred scripture, be not afraid. God will equip you, and the more you do it, the better you get at it.
There's a real difference between evangelizing and proselytizing, isn't there?
There is, and there's been a little bit of question and confusion because the Holy Father recently has used the word that proselytism is senseless, and hopefully he was referring to that sense in which proselytism, understood this way, is that sort of coercive, you're going to go to hell if you don't accept what
right.
I say.
Beating someone over the head with Jesus.
Yes.
Or I'm holier than thou, like, you know, I'm better because
I do this.
Well,
there's a little bit of that, but mostly what would characterize the proselytism would be that there would be a coercive type of thing or sheep stealing, where somebody maybe is practicing their faith in another faith tradition and you're trying to take them away from with underhanded methods. Now, the difference between that and evangelization is that in evangelization, it's a respectful, loving, open, and clear, unabashedly clear presentation of Jesus Christ, the person and the message, and the revelation of God as it subsists in the Catholic Church. And that we must do because it is not only our right and duty, but it is the right of those who have been created to know the revelation that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. It's their right to know it. And so we can and must present it lovingly and respectfully.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've said the first thing Catholics need to do to share the faith is to give witness with our own lives. And how can I show a sign that my faith is alive and that I have this love for God that is genuine, so that people look at me and are attracted to that?
Well, the first thing is that if I have come to know the Lord, he should be changing me from the inside out. If, in fact, that is one of the signs that I have actually encountered the Lord in a deep and abiding way, or what I like to call a life-giving and life-changing way. And so it's going to begin to show. Other people going to notice that we're more loving, that we're more understanding, that we're more respectful, that we are changing, that our attitudes are changing, that our language, our behavior, our choices, and so forth. So that should be attractive to others. In other words, Christ within me should be attractive to you. That would be, and so that there's also a coherence between what I preach and what I live. And so Paul the Sixth spoke about that. He said that the modern world listens more readily to witnesses than it does to teachers. And if the modern world does listen to teachers, it's because we are first and foremost witnesses. Jesus himself said, do as the Pharisees say, but not as they do. In other words, you can actually follow what somebody is teaching if it's correct, but don't follow what they're doing if it's not in accord with that which they are preaching. Pope Francis himself has said, especially to the bishops, he says he wants bishops who are pastors, who care for and smell like the flock. And I think every one of us can take that also as a motto for ourselves as lay men and women. We should care for others, and we should smell like the flock, meaning we should be able to get down and dirty, if you will, with people and not, like you said earlier, not feel or give any impression that we believe we are holier than thou. Mm-hmm. The only one that is holier than thou and than me is God Almighty.
Amen to that. Well, I think most of us have seen opportunities come and go, and after the fact, we've kind of said, oh, that was something I should have picked up on. How can we be a little more alert for those opportunities when they come up to share the faith?
That is so true. That does happen. And here's what we need to do in those cases, by the way, is pray. Lord, may there be another Catholic evangelizer that will encounter that person.
Right.
And even when we do a good job, we should always pray, Lord, may someone else also do the follow-up. But one thing we can do is have our antennas in the right direction. And just as, you have two little antennas in the way back when we're on TVs, one should be pointed to the Holy Spirit, and the other one should be pointed to the person in front of you. What do I mean by that? One, you need to, as soon as somebody, you encounter somebody, especially when someone says, I have a situation, I want to ask your opinion, the first thing you need to do is interiorly pray, come Holy Spirit. So the one antenna is, where's the Holy Spirit leading you? What is the Holy Spirit leading you to say, to ask, to share? The other antenna to the person in front of you, so that you might perceive whether you're getting a green light, a yellow light, or a red light. When you're driving, what do? If you have green, you proceed. You go. If you have yellow, proceed with caution or get ready to stop. And what's a red light? A red light, you have to stop. So the same thing when I'm encountering somebody. Someone might give me an open door to share the faith, to share my personal testimony. I go. If someone gives me that sense, I get the sense as I'm observing the person that I better go slowly, then I better go slowly. And if I get a closed door, no, I'm not interested, I don't want to talk about it, stop. Don't ruin the occasion for another evangelizer to be able to do what at this particular moment you are not able to do.
Right, and we should have that testimony ready to share, you know, powerfully, right? Do you have any tips for that? Like, I mean, obviously know your story and be ready to share it, but sharing that is very personal, and you've got to, like you said, know that you have the green light to share.
Yes, I give workshops in which I teach people how to prepare and share a personal testimony, and I'm not the only one. There are many people who do, and many of us talk about the ABCs. One would be, if it's verbal testimony, that it'd be audible, but even if it's something you're going to write to somebody on Facebook or an email or a text, that it'd be accurate would be another A. B, brief, that this doesn't drag on for 3 hours.
Right.
Another B would be biblically supported, so that you can connect people with sacred scripture. And C would be Christ-centered. It always has to be about what Christ has done for you. And many times we talk about there should be the before Christ, the Christ event, and then after Christ. So before I was going to church on a regular basis, I was miserable, or I was this, or I was that. Then I began going to church because I went on a retreat, or because I was in a Bible study, or because I went to a conference. And after, my life has changed, and this is what the results are.
Martha Fernandez-Sardina, it's always fun to visit with you and get some good tips for daily living. God bless
you.
Thanks.
I appreciate it, and I want to direct everybody to the website that we've created, rememberyouarelove.com, so we can be on a mission of love with Pope Francis and fulfill that mission of truth of which Pope Benedict spoke. So God blessings to all of you. In these 9 days before the year of faith is over, I encourage everyone to pray a novena to Christ the King, that he may indeed become the King of the universe.
Thank you, Martha.
Thank you all.
And as we discussed, you can check out videos and writings by Martha Fernandez Sardina online. She posts an amazing amount of wonderful content, and we've put links from our show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org and click on radio in the top navigation bar.
And you can find out more about the Year of Faith, including how you could still obtain a plenary indulgence, on our show page as well.
And coming up on the Rediscover Hour, Archbishop Nienstedt discusses his commitment to protect the young and vulnerable and restore trust in today's No Ordinary Conversation.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Rediscover.
Stinson Electric solves electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. They strive for the best results for their customers.
This is Paul Archambault of Stinson Electric. This summer, I took a 10-day vacation up at the lake. The first three emails that I opened on Monday morning were all compliments about how well my employees had handled various things while I was gone. What a blessing to come back to that.
Stinson Electric has such a wide set of skills, your electrical needs are always handled by an expert in the field.
Our ideal in our company is to have each person be continuously improving. So we host annual in-house training for our electricians. They're trained in safety, they're trained in new codes, troubleshooting techniques. That way, with a number of employees, we have kind of a wide range of knowledge. People become experts on different parts of the business.
Stinson Electric is the sponsor of the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio. You can contact Paul at 612-424-7382.
Time, but I think I figured it out how I'm feeling.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. It's time for No Ordinary Conversation, a regular segment here on the show featuring Archbishop John Nienstedt.
And in today's No Ordinary Conversation, the Archbishop has a very serious discussion with Joe Towalski about protecting the young and vulnerable and restoring the trust of the faithful.
Archbishop, the last few weeks have been difficult ones for local Catholics with the media reports of accusations of clergy sexual misconduct and questions about how cases were handled over the past several decades. You've made a pledge to restore trust. Could you say more about that?
Yes, indeed. The media reports have been very disturbing for me, for the priests and lay faithful of this archdiocese. We all thought that the clerical sexual misconduct was behind us, and here we are having to deal with it all over again. That in itself is terribly disappointing, and I can understand the outrage that people are feeling as a result of this. It is my hope that we can gain an objective evaluation of what has gone wrong through the task force that has been set up to review our policies and practices, seeing first of all if they have been followed, and if not, why not? Secondly, I've said that we will review all the clergy files with the goal of being able to reassure the Catholic community that there is no one in ministry who is a threat to minors. At the same time, we need to express sorrow and remorse for those who have been victimized by priests. Just yesterday, we had a penitential service at our beautiful cathedral, asking God's mercy upon us for our sins and our human failures. I encourage other such prayer services in parishes and deaneries throughout the archdiocese.
Very good. And you've shared your feelings of sadness about the suffering of victims, and you've acknowledged that there is cause here for the sadness, confusion, and anger among some Catholics. Could you say more about how these accusations have affected you and how you are reaching out to those suffering because of these serious mistakes?
Well, certainly victims need to know that we acknowledge and regret deeply the harm that has come to them. An act of sexual abuse is a heinous crime and one that cannot be tolerated and never should be tolerated. Mistakes have been made, even though they were not intentional, but nevertheless the damage has been done. We must express our remorse and do all in our power to make sure that these mistakes do not happen again. I have been addressing how we can do just that in my regular column in the Catholic Spirit. I ask those who are listening to this interview today to refer to both of those columns, 2 weeks ago and then the one that's coming out this week.
And what is the primary goal of all this, and what is being done to ensure that goal is being met?
My primary goal, and that of the Archdiocese, is the safety of our children. Nothing is more important than that. We have worked very hard these past 8 years to provide safe environments in our parishes and our schools by the Virtus training for adults and age-appropriate lessons for children. We have done background checks on anyone who interacts with children, youth, or vulnerable adults. We have laid out a code of conduct for all those who minister in the church. But obviously, we must do more in order to regain the trust of our Catholic people.
And this is hard for so many people because there was the sense that this chapter in our church's history was addressed and that we wouldn't have to confront these issues again. How do you restore the trust of those who feel discouraged to see reports of this nature surfacing again?
I believe that in order to restore the trust of our people, we first of all need to know exactly what has gone wrong. The task force has been established to answer that question. I ask people not to rush to judgment until after the report has been given. Once we know the facts, then we can begin to address the overall situation. The scriptures tell us that it is the truth that sets us free. So we need to determine what is true and then begin to address the consequences of that truth. Promises have been made before, and so promises today might ring somewhat hollow. But all of us know better than we did 2 months ago how essential it is that we rectify this situation. I have confidence that we can, and we will do precisely that.
Thank you very much, Archbishop, for taking the time to answer these questions.
Sure.
And you can find out more about what the Archbishop has said on this important topic of protecting young people and restoring trust in the Catholic spirit. And we've linked to his recent newspaper columns from our show page.
We hear from Archbishop Neinstedt regularly on the Rediscover Hour in No Ordinary Conversation. Next week, we hear from the Archbishop about preparing our hearts for Advent.
Well, here's a look at some inspiring Catholic events happening in our area. A reminder about the next two Catholic Man Night events we discussed on our All Saints Day show a few weeks ago. On Wednesday, November 20th, there's a Catholic Man Night at St. Agnes and St. Paul. The topic is The Courage of Jesus Christ, presented by Father Mark Moriarty. And the evening begins at 6:30 and ends by 9 p.m. The Church of St. Agnes address is 548 Lafond Avenue in St. Paul.
Then on Friday, November 22nd, there's a Catholic Man Night at St. Michael Catholic Church in St. Michael. The talk topic is Son of Man, presented by Bishop Lee Pache. The evening begins at 6:30 and ends at 9 p.m. Church of St. Michael address, 11300 Frankfort Parkway Northeast in St. Michael. All Catholic Man Night events are free and include dinner. Free will offerings to offset costs are gratefully accepted.
And Bishop Lee Pache will speak on the Furnace of Humiliation for the Saturday men's breakfasts on November 23rd at the Church of St. Helena, 3204 East 43rd Street in Minneapolis, and men are invited to come first to Mass at 8 a.m. in the church, and a hearty breakfast follows at 8:30 a.m. in Rowan Hall. The church is $5 per breakfast. Reservations should be made by 12 noon on Friday, November 22nd, by calling 612-729-7321. Complimentary tickets are available for those having difficulty in paying.
You're invited to the Golden Habit Mixer to support the Sisters of St. Joseph of Carondelet in their current ministries, including St. Mary's Health Clinics, Sarah's Oasis, and others. The event takes place November 29th at Creighton Durham Hall High School, 6 p.m. to midnight. There will be two bands, food, bingo, food and drink, and a lot more. Admission is $20. For information about the event or to register or to find out more about the sisters and their ministries, go to goldenhabitmixer.org. That's goldenhabitmixer.org.
And St. Paul's Monastery invites you to attend the Christmas at the Monastery on Saturday, November 7th from 4 to 7 p.m. This is the largest local fundraiser for the Benedictine sisters and their ministries. Proceeds support the Benedictine community and continuous education and spiritual formation of the sisters and the monastery operations. Enjoy an exclusive auction, delightful music, and inspirational prayer at the monastery at 2675 Bennett Road in St. Paul. The event costs $35 and you may register and pay online. We've set up a link to the St. Paul Monastery site from our show page.
You can see the movie Mary of Nazareth at the Lakeville Mueller Family Theater on December 8th, 2 p.m. and help the local Knights of Columbus chapter at the same time. You can buy tickets for this special Knights of Columbus fundraiser at the All Saints Catholic Church Parish Office in Lakeville or at Holy Cross Books in Apple Valley. Tickets are $10 each. The movie is not recommended for youth under 13 unless their parents approve and are attending with their children. That screening information again for the new movie, Mary of Nazareth, takes place at the Lakeville Mueller Family Theater December 8th at 2 p.m.
And finally, the ordination of Bishop-elect Andrew Cousins takes place on December 9th at 2 p.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul and will begin right at 2. All faithful are invited to attend this important event in the life of our local church, but please be aware that seating is and on-site parking are limited. See the Archdiocese website for off-site parking options. A reception will immediately follow the ceremony at the Crown Plaza Hotel, downtown St. Paul, to which all the faithful are invited.
And of course, want to remind you too that ordination
That's
mass
right.
will be heard live on Relevant Radio 1330 beginning at 2 o'clock on December 9th. So for more information on any of the events we've talked about today on the Rediscover Hour, visit our Rediscover Hour show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org and click on radio in the top navigation bar. Well, coming up on the Rediscover Hour, hear from a local bookseller about a special opportunity to meet one of the most beloved and inspirational Catholic spirituality authors writing today.
And we'll talk with one of the amazing musicians who took the stage at Rediscover Catholic Celebration in answering the call.
Plus, in No Ordinary Conversation, Archbishop Neinstadt discusses preparing our hearts for Advent with Father John Paul Erickson.
The Rediscover Hour, Fridays at 9 a.m., Saturdays at 6, and Sundays at 9, right here on Relevant Radio.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.